All right, today we're going to continue our series on Change Your Sound. Anybody want your sound to change today? All three of you. Anybody else wants your sound to change today? Come on now. How many know when we change our sound, we change our life? Sound affects every part of us. God put it in our DNA. We respond to sound. We respond to sounds, don't we? Our emotions, our attitude, our heart. I mean, so many things. When we change our environment sounds, we change our life. We're talking about how we change the sounds that we're allowing to come into our ear. We're also talking about changing the sounds we're allowing to come out of our mouth. Sometimes you need a fresh sound to come out of your mouth. Sometimes you need a fresh sound. Last week we talked about the sound of praise. Now today I want to go down the same vein but take it a little bit different. Let's go talk about the sound of my worship. The sound of my worship. As we focus in upon worship today, the Bible, honestly, the Bible gives a lot of protocol when it comes to praise. I mean, we're to praise God with shouts of joy, praise Him with a loud shout, praise Him with the instruments, praise Him, all you people, praise Him in the sanctuary. I mean, the Bible continues, everything has breath, praise the Lord. There's a lot of instruction when it comes to praise. Now, even though we see some instruction about worship, we don't see as much instruction about worship. So today I want to kind of dive into this heart of worship and pray that God does something inside of us. John 4:24, Jesus said, "For God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and truth." Let's say it together. Spirit and in truth. One more time. Spirit and in truth. What's this mean? If we're going to be worshipers, we got to learn to worship God in spirit and in truth. When I talk about worshiping God in spirit, we know this is talking about my heart, my will, my emotions. I mean, everything that is all tying together with my spirit man. So I am to engage my heart, my will, my emotions in worship. And then I also, the Word of God says that we worship Him in truth. Now, what is the truth? The Word of God declares, it says His Word is the truth. So that's why this morning we spend time, extended time, engaging our spirit man in worship. And now we have balance in our worship because now we open up the Word of the Lord and we allow ourselves to begin to worship in truth as well. And so I become a worshiper in song. I become a worshiper in my spirit. And then also throughout the week, I take times to worship. I put in the Word of God into my mind. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm living out the Word of God. I'm living out. See, all these things are worshiping God in truth. We need both in our life. We got to guard our hearts though today, okay? Can I just warn you? We got to guard our hearts that our worship doesn't become robotic. Have you ever been there? Well, your worship becomes robotic. And what I mean by that is this. You find yourself going through the motions of worship, but your spirit really isn't engaging. I can tell you I've been there before. We find ourselves going there. We find ourselves going to a place where we're going through the motions. You know, this morning we're singing songs. This is how I fight my battles. And while we're thinking about God fighting our battles, we're like, God, help the Chiefs as they go in battle today. Lord, do we know? Or we're singing songs, you know, of worship. And we're like, yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I wonder what time we'll get to the restaurant today. I hope my food doesn't overcook. Or who else is coming? Oh, this is how I fight. Yes, hallelujah. If we're not careful, we just kind of drift. Am I the only one who ever has this problem? Okay. Raise your hand if you've ever had that problem before. Okay. It's, come on now. I've been there. You've been there. If we're not careful, what happens is our spirit doesn't connect the way it needs to. Our worship becomes robotic. And so today I'm praying that this message will prick at your heart this morning and say, you know what? I need to make sure that I'm really worshiping. See, I want to change my heart of worship. I don't just want to go through the motions, but I want something to happen. See, worship should be an intimate experience with God. I believe worship should be an intimate experience with God. I'm growing. See, when I spend time in intimacy, I'm sharing my heart and I'm hearing the heart of the other person. God, my heart, it longs for you. God, I want to have your heart in my life. God, I want to know you more in my life. God, I want to get to know you more. God, I want to experience you more in my life. God, I want to spend more time with you. See, worship, come on, guys, look at me now. I know when we say this word intimate, it can kind of, hey, that's not me, Pastor. Yeah, I'm talking to you guys. We've got to learn that worship is a part of our intimate relationship with God. It's the experience that God wants us to have. We realize this and we understand this, that worship is changing us and worship is happening with us. Now, as we do this, we got to ask ourselves this question. Have you lost a loving feeling? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you never close your eyes. You know, the righteous brothers had it kind of right. I think sometimes we got to ask ourselves that question, right? Have we lost that loving feeling? As we get robotic in our worship, oftentimes, you know, we've lost that loving feeling. We're going through the motions. We're here. We're doing a spiritual checklist, but have we really engaged? Well, some feel like, you know what, Pastor, I've been serving the Lord a long time. And, you know, I've matured. I don't need to express myself in worship like some of the ones who are just saved. Really, really. I just, where do we get off with that mentality? Where do we allow that to come from? That's pride, number one, okay? That's pride. I've grown. I don't need to humble myself. No, God resists the proud. He exalts the what? The humble. We should always stay humble in the presence of God. And we don't ever reach a place of maturity where we shouldn't be having intimate times where we are connecting with the heart of the Father in worship. I love this story, and we're going to spend the rest of our time in this story. Luke chapter 7, awesome story. I love the way Jesus just does things and teaches us things in such a practical way. Let's look at the story. Jesus is at the house of one of the Pharisees, invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house. He reclined at the table, and a woman in town who lived a sinful, everybody say sinful. She lived a sinful life. You know, isn't that special, right? She lived a sinful life. If we go on to translate this and know that she was actually a prostitute. A woman in town who was a prostitute, she lived a sinful life, that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came in there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume all over his feet. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, they all said to themselves, if this man were a prophet, talking about Jesus, he would know who is really touching him. What kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, don't you love this? I love this because look at Jesus here. You know, this, you got to realize this room is packed, okay? This room is packed of Pharisees. Packed, he's got his disciples there, and we see through other stories, we know that anywhere Jesus was, that people were hanging out outside. Oftentimes, they were climbing through the roof to get to Jesus. They were trying to look in the window to find to hear what Jesus is saying. So this was not like it's just Jesus and a couple of people. I mean, this place is shoulder to shoulder, packed with people, hinging on every word. This woman walks in the middle of the crowd, starts washing Jesus' feet with her tears and perfume. And in their mind, you're like, whoa, look at this sinner. Look who's really trying to worship Jesus. And I love the way Jesus teaches here because he didn't speak to the whole crowd, but yet he spoke to the whole crowd. It's like he was so aggravated, he didn't say, hey, you guys listen to me. He's like, hey, Simon. Hey, Simon, I'm going to talk to you, but when talking to you, I know all you other heathens are going to hear me as well. He goes, Simon, I have something to tell you. He goes, tell me, teacher. He goes, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One of them had 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. And Jesus says, bingo! You have judged correctly. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, But she wet my feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured the perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, give her, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. She's showing me her great love. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. See, today we got to realize this woman was a prostitute that Jesus was bringing to teach us something about worship. See, we got to remember today, so many people were quick to judge this woman. But today, how many of us forget about how much blood of Jesus it took to forgive your sins and my sins? Quit walking into church thinking you got it all together. Quit walking in the presence of God. No, you need to go back and remember just how much of God's grace it took to save you. Just how much of God's grace and mercy it took to get you out of your situation. To turn your family around. To change your family curse around. To change your lifestyle around. You didn't just show up to church and bam, you were okay. We're not. No, it's only here today because of God's grace and mercy. Don't forget how much blood of Jesus was shed for us, for all of us. Remember the grace that floods our lives. Remember it was grace that broke the family curse. So many of you come out of a family of addictions, of abuse, and God has changed you. You're changing that around. You're changing the story with your life now. You're changing the story in your children's lives now. And your grandchildren are going to be affected. You've broken that curse of abuse and addiction, of self-righteousness and all these things going on. God's blood has come through and changed your life. Don't forget it. Don't forget what it took. Don't forget what it took. Don't allow your worship to be stolen from you. Remember how messed up our life was. Remember how messed up our life was before Christ. Remember what they said about you before you gave your life to Christ. Remember what they said about you after you gave your life to Christ, okay? It's a process in my life that the blood covers. Look at this. Everybody wants to receive grace, but few want to give it away. I know that's good. Everybody wants to receive grace. But we find that few people really, truly want to give it away. You see, it's easier to judge everybody else's sins. It's easier to look around at everybody else and say, oh, this person is a bigger sinner than me. But remember how much grace God has poured into my life. When I remember how much grace God does in my life, when I remember how much God has brought me out of, when I remember where I used to be and where God's got me now, when I remember how my marriage wasn't going to make it, but the grace of God saved it, when I remember my children, but only God's grace, when I remember the addiction I was in, when I remember the sin I was in, when I remember the pride I was tied to, when I remember the fear I was living under, when I remember the anxiety that controlled my life, when I remember depression that flooded my heart all the time, I can thank God for His grace. Thank God for His blood in my life. I remember. Don't forget. Listen. We got to give grace not only to the prostitute, but we got to give grace to the pimp. We have grace for the children, Seth, but do we have grace for the guys wanting to buy those children? Ooh, that's hard. Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah, God pushes me there. God confronts me there. Can I show grace? Do I think I'm better than that person? Do I think I'm more righteous than that person? See, worship confronts that in my life. It confronts it and demands me to look inward. See, we don't access the presence of God because I've matured. We don't access the presence of God because I've been saved so many years. No, we must always remember that I can enter into the holies of holies. I can enter into the presence of God, not because of my maturity, but because of the cross of Jesus. I remember I am only here because of the righteousness that God gave me through His blood. That's why I'm here today. That's why you can come in and inhabit, and God inhabits the praises of his people. We can spend time in his presence and we can say, yes, God, you're so good. This is why my spirit can come in and connect with his spirit. This is why I can come in and be set free, not because of my maturity, but because of the blood of Jesus. Somebody give a hand clap for the blood of Jesus this morning. Only because of grace can I teach this morning. Not because I'm that good. No, it's because of God's grace can I stand before you today. Only because of his grace can I worship freely. Only because of his grace have I been set free. Come on now today. It's his grace. It's his grace. Don't forget it. See, this is the problem. We got to stop. Let's stop judging everyone else's worship and start judging our own. Let's stop judging everybody else's worship. You see, when you become robotic in your worship, it's easy to judge everybody else's worship. Oh, yeah. Look at that person over there trying to worship you. But you know what kind of post they made all week long? Woo! I've been following them. I follow them on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And you should have seen the stuff they put on their story. And now they want to come in here and worship. Whatever. Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? And this is what Jesus was trying to teach us. We need to stop looking at everybody else's worship. And he says, I want you to look inward and judge yourself. Are we worshiping in spirit and truth? Am I taken back to the place of God's grace in my life? Am I taken back to the place, or have I become robotic? Have I lost that loving feeling? Have I gone to a place where I'm just going through the motions? Or am I at a place where, God, I remember? Listen, I've been there. You've been there. If we're not careful, it's easy to get there. And Satan wants us to be there. He don't want our spirits engaging in worship. He doesn't want your heart engaging in worship. Why? Because when you allow that to happen, you are growing in God. There's something happening in the spirit realm in your life, over your family. There's something that happens. I mean, we spend time in God's presence. Change happens in our life. And so if he can get you worried about somebody else, if he can get you feeling not guilty yourself as well, or get you worried about what's going on later on this afternoon, he's robbing you of the experience of having intimate worship with God. I've got to guard myself. Let's stop judging everybody else, okay? And I love this because we are making a place here for God to welcome people in. I see this happening here. This lady, she's so brave. Think about it. She's so brave here. She walks into this all-boys club. All of his disciples are there. All the Pharisees are there. And they're packed out from the yard trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, trying to hear the words of Jesus. And so for her to make her way in wasn't like she just walked right in. She would have had to press her way in. She would have had to fight for her way to get in. And then knowing that everybody knew she was the sinner woman, that she was the prostitute of the area, everybody knew that. And so for her to walk up to Jesus, she was taking a risk of being rejected. She was taking a risk of people talking about her, and they were. And that's why Jesus confronted the issue. She took a risk here, and I love that she was so brave. And she walked right in and took nerve. See, his followers had been with him so long. They'd been watching him teach and heal and do miracles, and they were in awe of Jesus. But yet, they were forgetting at the very heart of it, it's about the heart of worship. They all wanted to be around Jesus, but only one was choosing to go in and truly worship him that day. And Jesus was wanting to do something. He sent this woman in to teach about worship. So you had a room of old school and new school. Remember our text going back to the first part of this series. Jesus said that we can't pour anything new into the old. The old wineskins, they bust. The new must be poured into something new. But we see both represented here. We have the old school of the law of the Pharisees who are following all the law. They were all doing things old school. Jesus is bringing a New Testament disciples, training them up on the New Testament. And he's pouring out something new to them. So he's got the new wineskin. He's got the old wineskin. And both of them missed it. And he sends in the sinner woman to teach him about worship. that at the heart of all this, it means nothing. New and old, it means nothing if you don't have a heart of worship. If you're not connecting your spirit into worship, we must learn to connect. I can imagine she was gripped with fear. See, both groups missed it. It was about worshiping Jesus. I can imagine her anxiety. I love her perseverance. And I can tell you this, that it bothers me today, and it should bother you, that across this community and across here in the U.S. especially, I know this to be true, that we have people who would never walk into any church in our community or never walk into any church across the U.S. because they're afraid that people will judge them as soon as they walk in. And it keeps them from walking into the front doors of the church. That's why we teach and we continue to push it to the forefront about the open chair here at Destiny Church, that we keep the open chair in mind. Why? Because I want all who walk in to know, no matter what you believe, where you're coming from, what your past looks like, we were all sinners, come short of God's glory. And God loves you just like He loves me. And God wants to do something in your life. Stop expecting everybody to walk in to look like you, to talk like you, to act like you. God, I hope they don't. Please. God wants us to be different, and He wants to do something. Don't forget how much grace it took when you walked in that room. Don't forget how much grace it took over your life. And it bothers me. I want people to know that they can walk in, and God loves them, and God is ready to change their life. And God loves them, and He wants to have a relationship with them. He wants to pour out His love. He wants to pour out His grace. He wants to pour out His mercy into their life. See, it should bother us that we get past that. Let's remember our first time. It was Jesus who said in Mark chapter 2 that it's the sick who need a doctor. It's the sick who need to be in the hospital, right? It's not those who are well. It's the sick who really need the doctor. And so if they're coming in, thank God we're doing something right, because people want to come in and find the doctor. The one doctor who can do heart surgery in their life and leave no scars. His name is Jesus. See, He changes our heart. It should be something. I remember, well, Pastor, she's a prostitute. Well, you're a gossip. Who cares? She's a prostitute. Well, you're full of lust in your mind. Who cares? Just let God work on you. You look at yourself. You judge yourself and let God work on them. And let's love people. Let's love people to the Father. Let's bring people to the Father. How do I do that? Because when I fall so much in love with God and I have that intimate experience, people are going to look at you and say, I want some of that. I want what you got. It's changing your life. It's transforming your life. It's the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, it only comes by grace and mercy. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It only comes by God's grace and mercy. That's why we can be here. That's why God can use us. That's why God can bring us to a point of connecting to Him in worship. She comes into the presence of Jesus. Can you see this? The scripture says she lets her hair down. Now today when we hear this phrase, letting your hair down, it means a whole different phrase back then than what it does now. Now we think, all right, let your hair down, you're just kind of relaxing, right? No. Back in this day, you got to realize that when a woman let her hair down in public, it meant she was saying, I'm a prostitute. I'm seducing the men. If you're looking, this is how you identify. This is how you identify. There's certain things that prostitutes use to identify themselves and set themselves out of, right? Seth, he's taught me this, show me. The things they do that people know, they can say, oh, that's a prostitute. They can tell by the certain things they wear or do. This is one of those ways. And that day, she would let her hair down. She would let her hair down, and everybody knew. So can you imagine? This woman presses through. Everybody knows she's a prostitute. She kneels at Jesus' feet, and she takes out the pin of her hair and lets her hair down. Can you imagine what they're thinking? Oh! This woman is trying to seduce Jesus! She's trying to make Jesus one of her clients! Uh-huh. mean, can you imagine all the everybody thinking that through their mind? But what they didn't realize was this. She wasn't letting her hair down to seduce Jesus. I believe, because of what we see in her heart and the transformation that happened in her life, she was saying this. I've let my hair down for so much less in my life. I've let my hair down for people who would use me and abuse me. I've let my hair down and cheapened myself. Sold myself. But today, I'm letting my hair down to declare I have a new Lord in my life. Today, I'm letting my hair down in public, and I don't care who sees me. They know that Jesus has changed me. That this man brought grace to my life. This man brought healing to my life. This man brought mercy to my life. This man has changed me. And I don't care who sees me cry. I don't care what it cost me. I brought the most valuable thing I had. It was this bottle of perfume I'm supposed to be saving. But it's not worth saving unless Jesus has it. And she breaks it open and she uses it on Jesus. She takes her own anxiety and she faces it. And she goes through it. This man won't use me. This man will heal me. This man won't judge me. This man accepts me. It was her tears that washed his feet. She pours out her expensive perfume. She dries her feet with her hair. This day, Jesus allowed her to come in and to teach the old school and the new school that what's important most is that we sit at the feet of Jesus and remember that we all hear by his grace and his mercy. Without Jesus, so we be also. Without Jesus, so I be also. Without Jesus, so would you be in trouble without him. But today, we stand with boldness because of his grace and his mercy. And it drives me now to a heart of worship. I'm going to ask the musicians to come this morning. And as they do today, I hope that you're allowing this woman that Jesus used to teach those who have been thinking they had it all figured out about worship. And he brought it to teach the ones who thought they had all the new things about worship. All figured out. And Jesus says, no, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. It's about the grace and the mercy. Let's get our eyes on ourselves. And let's ask ourselves, when's the last time I was moved to the point where I remember what God did in my life? When's the last time I was moved to tears in my life when I remember how much love and mercy God did in my life? He loved me like no man ever could. He loved me like no person ever could. He loved me beyond my failures, beyond my constant failures. The ones that people know about and the ones that people don't know about. He loved me. He loved me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, we won't do anything this morning to single you out. I promise you or embarrass you at all. But we want to ask you the most important sound you'll ever hear. And the most important sound you'll ever make is a sound is this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And will you confess him as Lord of your life? If you're here today, say, Pastor, whether this is your first time or you've been coming for a long time, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today I realize I need to make that decision in my life. Nobody looking at me. Can you just raise your hands? It's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Raise it right now. Let me see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, it's me. Thank you. Come on, raise it. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anybody else want to join us this morning? This is what we're going to do. Those of you here, raise your hands. I want you to say this prayer out loud with me where you're sitting. We'll have Christians sitting around you. They're going to say it out loud with you as well to help you along today. So let's say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I confess I need you as Lord of my life. Thank you for what you did at the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family, God. Come on, give me a big hand. This is why we're here today. If you raise your hand and pray that prayer before you leave today, I want you to stop by our hub back here to my left. We have a free Bible. Inside there is some information we want to give to you about your next steps, okay? This is an important part of the process. If you don't have a church family, you need to be here connecting to a church family. If you have one, go back and tell somebody that church, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus. I want you to stand on your feet this morning. How many say, Pastor, man, you're preaching right to me this morning. I need God to take me past the robotics. I need God to prick my heart again about worship. I need God to get my eyes off of other people and just start looking at myself. Anybody here say, man, you're just preaching right to me? Okay, yeah, that's great. Okay, that's what we're going to do. For those of you who want to join us, I'm going to invite as many who want to today and who will to step out of your seat and say, God, I want to step into a new sound of worship. I want to step into a new spirit of worship. God, I'm asking you to break my heart again, God. Remind me, God, of what you've done in my life. And I'm asking you to step out and join us as we sing this last song together about worship. And say, God, take me to a place where I'm broken again. God, take me to a place where I remember. Take me to a place where I remember how much grace was upon my life. I'm going to invite you to come out of your seats and stand with us around the front. Press in around the back. Make room for those coming behind you. This morning, I want to pray for you. I believe today that God's going to do something in your life. I believe God, something's clicking for many people here. You say, yeah, Pastor, it's me. And God's going to allow just a soft spark to happen in worship. God's going to allow you to be reminded. He's going to renew an intimate worship spirit in you. From other people here today, I believe, and I want to prophesy over your life today as well. You're walking in full of guilt. There's people here this morning, you're walking full of guilt. Man, you've been shamed by your past. There's guys and girls both here, and this message is speaking right to you today that Jesus loves you. And today, you don't have to be a prisoner to that shame, but you're set free in Jesus' name. I want to invite everyone in this room who can you raise your hands? I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you're softening our heart of worship. God, I thank you today you're softening our heart of worship. God, you're bringing us to a place of intimate worship with you. May we never forget, God, what the blood of Jesus has done in my life. May we never forget what mercy did for me. And God, may we be quick to give it away. And Lord, I pray right now in Destiny Church, may you cause us to have a fresh sound of worship, a sound of thanksgiving, a sound of mercy, a sound of grace and love. God, may we never forget what you did in our life. And Father, right now, I pray for the person who's feeling guilt and has been imprisoned by their shame. In Jesus' name, I say, be free in Jesus' name. Amen. Guilt is leaving in Jesus' name. Right now, God is freeing you right now. You receive that word. There's men in this room right now. God is setting you free in your mind today. You've blown it, but God's grace is bigger than that today. And I pray right now you're set free. Women who have felt guilty today, God says, I love you. Come and worship at my feet. Let me use you for an example. God today is blessing your life, and he's setting you free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, be set free in Jesus' name. If you believe that today, come on, give God a hand clap and a shout of praise. Amen. I can't wait for part 5 next week. I'm already excited, okay? It's going to be good. Get somebody. Come on, let's fill the open chair. Let's pack this place out. Both services, I'm telling you, the first service is growing by leaps and bounds, okay? Let's pack this place out, both services, and let's let God's people know that there's a grace and a love for them. Let's bring them into the grace of God. I love you. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, I'm changing my sound. I'm changing my sound.